About 25 years ago, I was in France visiting a cave called Rufignac. It was an interesting experience. This is a cave in France that features prehistoric drawings from around 10,000 years ago. To go into the cave, one rides in a small electric train. In addition to the electric train, there are electric lights that enable one to see once in the cave. But once we got into the cave, deeply enough, the guide turned out the lights. And so, for the first time in my life, I experienced pitch black. I could not see a thing. I held my hands right in front of my eyes, and I could not see them. And I noticed on the way in, there were many different tracks that went off in many different directions. And I began to think, what if the power goes out and the lights don't come on? Can I find my way out? Even if I followed the tracks by feeling them with my hands, how would I know where to take a different track since we had crossed and veered off many tracks to get to this spot? Would I die because without light, I could not find my way out? Now, fortunately, the lights did come on, and we proceeded with our tour of the cave. I saw prehistoric etchings and what could be described as graffiti, since in modern times, before it was realized as a cave with prehistoric drawings, it was simply a cave that was a tourist destination, especially in the 19th and early 20th century. Many people left their mark on the cave walls. One bit of graffiti was even left by a Catholic priest. These modern-day markings that were mostly signatures were clearly visible. It seems that at the time, people did not realize what significant etchings were not as visible and had survived for thousands of years. In fact, they were only visible when the flashlight held by the guide was shown upon them at the right angle. Once they became visible with the flashlight, it was so amazing that they had been there all along. And after being made visible with the flashlight, it became possible to see these etchings without the flashlight. This experience taught me many things, but perhaps none more important than the contrast between light and darkness. It simply is not possible to have light and dark coexist at the same time. In fact, when we use the word dark today, we are usually referencing that the light is very, very dim. The second thing was the importance of the right light. Not only do we need the light, but we also need this light to be shown in such a way that sight is possible. Without the right light, we can easily miss things that are simply right before our eyes. With these lessons, let us consider today's readings. All three deal with the importance of sight and light. With each reading, there is much to be gained, and much is taught to us about the importance of seeing clearly, of leaving darkness behind, and using the right light. What we encounter in the first reading in the Gospel are people who cannot see clearly. Moreover, to see clearly, faith is required. Samuel needs to be attentive to the voice of God who has led him to Jesse's family, and to learn that seeing with the eyes of faith is necessary to identify David as the man God has chosen. But it is the story of the man born blind that is most interesting. It begins with an understanding that when something like blindness occurs, it must be because of someone's sin. This is a notion that Jesus dispels. There is the importance of light. The man born blind was in darkness, but after being healed by Jesus, he is now in the light. And the healing actions of Jesus are actions of the light. While to us it might seem unhygienic and downright gross, Jesus uses his spit, mixes it with clay, and heals the man. A contemporary of Jesus, Pliny the Elder, wrote about the belief that spittle had healing properties. And just as man was created from the clay, so too the spit and clay leads to a new creation as well. The pool of Siloam, where the man is sent to wash, is for people to do the ritual washings that were necessary. But the man born blind does not perform ritual washings, but healings. And with the number of people who would have been present for ritual washings and the man blind man being recognized as the one who begged, the healing of the man born blind would have been witnessed by many. They would be sure to relate the story. They would be sent, as the name of the pool implies. But the sight given to the man born blind was not just physical sight. After his healing, he can see that Jesus is a prophet. Not only does he regain his physical sight, but now he has the right light to see Jesus clearly and to have faith. Just as the right light enabled me to see what was available all along, so too the right light made Jesus visible for the blind man. But the scene becomes downright comical after this when the man born blind encounters the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed the Messiah would not come until the people of God observed the law perfectly. And they were right. Jesus should not be making clay for healing on the Sabbath. But Jesus makes a critically important distinction. While following the law is important, the importance comes from its ultimate purpose, which is to lead us to God. And offering salvation and leading people to God is the ultimate work of Jesus. And the encounter with the Pharisees contrasts the coming of the Messiah based on works, the perfect following of the law, and the free gift offered by Jesus. The man born blind does not ask to be healed. The healing of Jesus is freely offered. The healing of Jesus helps us to recognize the power of faith. We do not work to earn our way into heaven, as if our salvation depended upon us. Rather, we simply need to provide God with hearts open to receive Jesus' gift of salvation. Jesus takes the initiative, and Jesus makes it possible for a person to see in faith. The man born blind, who can now see, is the instrument of faith for others, just as the Samaritan woman was the instrument of faith for her entire village. In those celebrating the scrutinies, we see the same pattern. They will be washed clean in baptism and have their eyes opened by the light of Christ. Many of us have already experienced the same things. But consider the new enthusiasm that arose through the man born blind who can now see. Consider how enthusiastic we should be that our community continues to grow as Jesus opens the eyes of all to the gift of salvation.